Warriors, peacekeepers, welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to Book 8, Chapter XVII, which means 17, I think. Anatole went out of the room and returned a few minutes later wearing a fur coat, girt with a silver belt, and sable cap, jauntily set on one side and very becoming to his handsome face. Having looked in a mirror and standing before Dolokhov in the same pose he had assumed before it, he lifted a glass of wine. "Well, goodbye, Theodore. Thank you for everything and farewell," said Anatole. "Well, comrades and friends," he considered for a moment, "of my youth, farewell," he said, turning to Makarin and the others. Though they were all going with him, Anatole evidently wished to make something touching and solemn out of this address to his comrades. He spoke slowly in a loud voice and, throwing out his chest, slightly swayed one leg. "All take glasses, you too, Balaga. Well, comrades and friends of my youth, we've had our fling and lived and revelled, hey? And now, when shall we meet again? I am going abroad. We have had a good time, now farewell, lads. To our health. Hurrah!" he cried and emptied his glass and flung it on the floor. "To your health," said Balaga, who also emptied his glass and wiped his mouth with his handkerchief. Makarin embraced Anatole with tears in his eyes. "Ah, Prince, how sorry I am to part from you." Let's go," cried Anatole. Balaga was about to leave the room. "No, stop," said Anatole. "Shut the door. We have first to sit down. That's the way." They shut the door and all sat down. The footnote here says that this is in accord with a Russian superstition as to what should be done when starting on a journey. "Now, quick, march, lads," said Anatole, rising. Joseph, his valet, handed him his sabretache and sabre, and they all went out into the vestibule. "And where's the fur cloak?" asked Dolokhov. "Hey, Ignatka, go to Matrivna, and ask her for the sable cloak." "I have heard what elopements are like," continued Dolokhov with a wink. "Why, she'll rush out, more dead than alive, just in the things she is wearing. If you delay at all, there'll be tears and papa and mamma, and she's frozen in a minute and must go back. But you wrap the fur cloak around her first thing and carry her to the sledge." The valet brought a woman's fox-lined cloak. "Fool, I told you the sable one. Hey, Matrina, the sable," he shouted, so that his voice rang far through the rooms. A handsome, slim, and pale-faced gypsy girl with glittering black eyes and curly blue-black hair, wearing a red shawl, ran out with a sable mantle on her arm. "Here, I don't grudge it, take it," she said, evidently afraid of her master and yet regretful to her cloak. Dolokhov, without answering, took the cloak, threw it over Matrina, and wrapped her up in it. "That's the way," said Dolokhov, "and then so." And he turned the collar up, round her head, leaving only a little of the face uncovered. "And then so, do you see?" And he pushed Anatole's head forward to meet the gap left by the collar, through which Matrina's brilliant smile was seen. "Well, goodbye, Matrina," said Anatole, kissing her. "Ah, my revels here are over. Remember me, Stenshka. There, goodbye, goodbye, Matrina. Wish me luck." "Well, Prince, may God give you great luck," said Matrina in her gypsy accent. Two troikas were standing before the porch, and two young drivers were holding the horses. Balaga took his seat in the front one, and holding his elbows high, arranged the reins deliberately. Anatole and Dolokhov got in with him. Makarin, Kovostikov, and a valet seated themselves in the other sledge. "Well, are you ready?" asked Balaga. "Go," he cried, twisting the reins round his hands, and the troikas tore down the Nitsitsky Boulevard. "Tapru, get out of the way. Hi, Tapru," the shouting of Balaga and of the sturdy young fellow seated in on the box was all that could be heard. On the Arbat Square, the troika caught against a carriage. Something cracked, shouts were heard, and the troika flew along the Arbat Street. After taking a turn along the Podnivinsky Boulevard, Balaga began to rein in and, turning back, drew up at the crossing of the old Konyushin Street. The young fellow on the box jumped down to hold the horses, and Anatole and Dolokhov went along the pavement. When they reached the gate, Dolokhov whistled. The whistle was answered, and a maid-servant ran out. "Come into the courtyard, or you will be seen. She'll come out directly," said she. Dolokhov stayed by the gate. Anatole followed the maid into the courtyard, turned the corner, and ran up into the porch. He was met by Gabriel, Maya Dmitrievna's gigantic footman. "Come to the mistress, please," said the footman in his deep bass, intercepting any retreat. "To what mistress? Who are you?" asked Anatole in a breathless whisper. "Kindly step in. My orders are to bring you in." "Kuragin, come back," shouted Dolokhov. "Betrayed, back." Dolokhov, after Anatole entered, had remained at the wicket gate and was struggling with the yard porter who was trying to lock it. With a last desperate effort, Dolokhov pushed the porter aside, and when Anatole ran back, seized him by the arm, pulled him through the wicket, and ran back with him to the troika. Alright, there we have it, another chapter down. It looks like our sneaky, rather dodgy men, Dolokhov and Anatole especially, have had their sneaking around foiled by good old Maya Dmitrievna. Dmitrievna has set up some kind of an ambush and caught them in the act of trying to steal away young Natasha. That was pretty cool to read. Turtle Vader said, "Anatole seems to be taking his forthcoming eloping scheme somewhat seriously in this chapter. Do you think this is all posturing?" Gale Claw said, "It didn't appear like posturing to me, since this would imply that Anatole would be thinking ahead for once." At this point, I don't think we can call it posturing. He was going for it. They went there. They were at the Rostov's estate trying to pinch poor young Natasha away from her family. Well, I mean, not pinch. She's going willingly, but the plan was in action. Turtle Vader also said, "The big warm coat being prepared for the runaway Natasha is a genius move, in my opinion. I wish I had thought of that for my wedding because my wife was freezing." Does Dolokhov have experience in these matters? Because he is a total pro at this stuff, it would seem. Yeah, he had thought of everything, hadn't he? It definitely seems like he's had experience in this before. He understood that it wouldn't be as easy as they, you know, secretly drive up to the estate. She comes out, hops in quietly, and off they go. He knew that there was going to be some fuss. They weren't just going to pinch her away and no one would notice. And in that fuss, she is going to be standing outside for a long time and would get cold. And the last thing you want to do is be lured back into the property at that point. He really had thought of everything. Good old Dolokhov, what a good friend. I mean, terrible person, but a good friend. Obi-Wan Spicoli said, "Maya Dmitrievna, to the rescue. I was so relieved. I love her for stepping in and taking charge. I wish they could have caught them, though. This is the most riveting episode since the Pierre Dolokhov duel. Like others, I also read ahead a little bit. I had to know. I am so glad to be part of this. I don't think I would have ever gotten around to reading this amazing story if it wasn't for that Reddit post and this subreddit." I'm glad to be part of this too, Obi-Wan Spicoli, and glad to have you on board, comrade. If I ever need to steal someone's fiance away from them and elope, I'm going to get you on my team, Obi-Wan Spicoli. You can be my Dolokhov. B-52 girl agreed that this was a riveting chapter, saying, "Same here. I let out an audible F yes, Sonya." Good on her for going to Maya Dmitrievna. Well, this was an exciting chapter, but I don't think the guys are going to give up just yet. I think Dolokhov and Anatole will push on and try to extract Natasha from this estate and elope. I think it's just going to be a bit messier than they had hoped. There will be an altercation, and I think that's what's coming up in the next chapter. I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but I think the next chapter will be the... it won't be the aftermath of this episode. It will be a continuation of their efforts to get Natasha. All right, that's going to do us for today's episode. Thanks very much for listening. I will see you again tomorrow.